Ken Oliver is a good player.
Daquan Jones is a good player. They added Larry Ogunjobi. They did work. They said, look, we need to do work on this part of the team. Let's do work. It also will help pass the defensive line if Milano can actually stay healthy for a whole year, because he's very good if he can stay healthy. You hope that Bosa is a big improvement. Obviously, they want the defense to be better and less dependent on turnovers. And if the turnovers come, then that's it.
Aaron Schatz, he'll be on with us next week. That's from a podcast he did with Mina Kimes at ESPN. Welcome back. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. I have been spending most of the last few minutes since chatting with Mike Dempsey pondering his highest-owned player in fantasy being Joshua Palmer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I have a lot of respect for him. Very often when we talk, we are on different pages when it comes to guys, and we're not in terms of the Jaguars. I like drafting Hunter because I think the upside is tremendous, and it's the middle of the fifth round. Zay Flowers goes around there, and that's maybe as good or better, but when you don't have to set lineups and you can consider the possibility that Travis Hunter shows up in the league and goes 5 for 130 and 2, you know, every once a month or something like that, that's very valuable. But maybe that's somewhat like what might be possible for Palmer, where he's not catching six balls a week. He's not Diggs. But, I mean, far from that. But maybe he gives you big
plays.
A smash
week here or there, yeah.
But, you know, Sal talked about Palmer today, right? He was on today talking about him and how he's not exactly a burner. He gets open. What Palmer does best is get open. But he's not really ever had a huge workload. And he's been in the league for 4 years, I think. Just, I think a lot will have to, I don't want to put it that way. A lot will have to go right. I don't know if the Bills want to sort of feed anybody.
Right. I wonder if the door is open for someone to walk through it at all. Right. I mean, it stands to reason that if someone elevates Palmer, Coleman, Samuel, whatever, pick one of those guys. Like Shakir is going to get whatever I think you can probably bank on whatever his numbers were last year.
Yep.
Right. I mean, I just think what was that? 76 catches, only 4 touchdowns,
850 yards,
821 yards. I've got. So you know that he's going to get the ball. He's going to get targets. But is there somebody else there? Because, I mean, there certainly was room in this offense when Beasley was catching more than that even. But that might be, like, the average Beasley season while he was here. I think he had 100 catches 1 year. But, you know, mostly it's probably around that, your slot receiver. And there was room for Diggs to go over 100. So there's room for someone. But do they want that? It always has made sense to me that if somebody develops trust, chemistry, you know, like Shakir, like I think there's a reason that Allen likes to go to Shakir. He catches everything near him. So if somebody can start to show that they can do that, then maybe Allen will, you know, I don't want to say skip through the progressions to get to that guy, but, you know, might just prioritize, and that's how you start emerging as a number one wideout, is if you're getting fed like that because you've earned it. And there should be room, even with everybody eats. Just because it didn't happen last year, maybe that's because Coleman was only a rookie and pretty raw and got hurt, and nobody else really was that. Samuel was injured. Maybe somebody can demonstrate that they deserve that attention. And Palmer, I guess, is as good a dart throw as anyone, even though he hasn't, because none of these guys have ever been that guy in an offense, right? Samuel's career high season is around what Shakir did last year, I think, if I remember correctly. I'm not looking at his career right now, but I feel like there's maybe a year in there where he did that, was healthy, and caught, you know, 70-some passes. So I just wonder if there's the opportunity should still be there, despite Joe Brady wearing the Everybody Eats hat yesterday.
What was Shakir? 70?
76 catches, 821 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Samuel in 2020, 77, 851, and 3.
Wow.
Almost identical.
All right.
And 41 rushes.
Ooh.
Shakir doesn't give you that, but Samuel could do some of that here.
Boy, he didn't do hardly any of that. He had 5 carries last year. Samuel. That's probably the injury. I doubt it's like philosophical. Like they didn't want to use him that way. I think it was probably that he was hampered.
Maybe both, because they didn't need it. You put 7 men in the box against the Bills, they're going to run it. Cook is going to run it. Allen's going to run it. And if it's 8, they're going to pass. And they just never needed to, quote, get cute. You know, like finding ways to move the ball on the ground was not a problem for that team. So maybe this year they'll need it. Maybe this year otherwise he's just healthy and they want a different wrinkle, a different look. I mean, every team is always trying to find that. So I'm spooked by my paltry ownership of Bills, if you'll allow the word ownership, in Bills fantasy. 1.9% is my number on Palmer, which is like almost never.
Right. That's what that sounds like.
And, you know, if you drafted, just auto-drafted, right? Just you signed up for 100 leagues and never made any of your own picks, just auto-drafted. In theory, you'd end up with 8.3% of everybody. You would get everybody equally. Using mm-hmm. just one set of rankings, you know, I'm going to have 8.3%. So that's like par. If you're drafting somebody at 20%, you're into them.
Or 40.
Or 41. 41 now I'm up to on to 41.7. That is a scary number for a guy who might not even start for Jackson, a rookie who was drafted on the Saturday. I've lost my mind. But Palmer is the – and like my highest owned Bill appears to be Shakir at 5%. I can find my way to him without Allen. Because there is a floor with Shakir, like we're saying, you're saying.
Right.
I think that's good to have. If I'm drafting Hunter and Xavier Worthy types, right, like there's the big game possible, but also duds, whoever else might qualify for that, then you want a guy like Shakir, you know?
Yep, that makes sense.
For security. Well, we'll get to work on this. I don't know. It's still only July, right? I still have a little bit of time.
You do, yeah.
When are we picking week one? Not today?
I think I'm going to go ahead and wait until
week one.
Friday the what is the date?
I don't know. I don't know the date. Wait a minute. The 5th of September.
Right. Friday the 5th. Thank you.
That's when you want to do it? At the usual time?
Friday. I think so. Yeah. Why you want to do it now?
No, I don't need to do it now. but I did want to bring up one game. Well, I was looking at the lines today for week one. The Bills are pretty firm as the 1.5-point favorite they've been over Baltimore. That's been, I mean, why would it be changing? But that's been there since mm-hmm. the whole time. The line has not moved toward the Ravens or the Bills. Like, very, a favorite, but by less than 3. Maybe we'll end up there. Who knows? Week one, Cleveland at Cincinnati. Bengals favored by 5.5. What's your inclination?
My inclination is that my first reaction is I would bet the Bengals if they were -7.5.
The game's in Cleveland, sorry.
Okay, don't care.
They're fairly close to each other.
Right, yeah.
Cleveland and Cincinnati.
The stadiums are pretty similar looking.
We're closer to Cleveland, though, than Cincinnati is.
That's right, because Cincinnati's about 8 hours, and Cleveland's only 3, so they're like 5, I think, from there.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
All right, so you would
probably not 8 anymore. It was 8 when I was a kid, and my dad was driving a station wagon with paneling on the sides of it. You can probably get to Cincinnati in less than 8 hours.
It's so funny. That was also our drive every summer, Xenia, Ohio, not quite to Cincinnati, and maybe every other year we'd go in, but...
Yep.
Not every year. See the Reds. All right. You're going to give the 5.5 at this point.
I think so. Yeah. I'm inclined to go ahead and.
Not trying to rush you.
No, it's fine.
You don't want to pick these games.
I don't feel like this is binding. But yeah, my
not
initial
binding.
Thought, yeah, this is not pick one.
Not binding at all. I feel like I want to say the games in Cincinnati. I've made that mistake before. Because they just opened in Cleveland a couple of years ago when Burrow was hurt. And they had, what did they have, like 6 first downs in the game or something awful, the Bengals. So I just kind of have thought that they would flip it. But no, the game is also in
Cleveland. You know, everybody says it, right? I mean, it's not just last year, but last year it was maybe more pronounced. They're a notoriously slow starting team. So, you know, 5.5 on the road might seem like a lot, but I guess I'm pretty bullish on the Bengals.
And with that, Zach Taylor said that Burrow will play more, get more work in, you know, before the season than ever. I don't know if that means the preseason per se. It probably does. But he was, you know, responding to that. They're trying something different, it sounds like, this year because of these slow starts you reference. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this timeout here on WGR.